Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It definitely seems that way.
Well, they're probably performing in line with the amount that they spend on Jansi von Rensburg's food bill. Jansi von Rensburger. Okay, let's go. Hello and welcome to this. It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm JB, sat in the rugby dungeon, and alongside me is Philip. Hello, Phil.
Hello, Jonathan.
And of course, down the line, because it's not really a Saturday or Sunday, it's Tim Cocker. Hello, Tim.
Evening, gents. Yeah, currently, if this were a Sunday evening, it would just be me and Phil because you'd be in Portugal.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But we can pretend, yeah?
We can pretend.
Yeah, let's pretend it's Sunday.
Do you enjoy the games? Cracking set of games.
Oh, what a set of games. Those results.
Oh, all the results. And the weather as well. Amazing.
The weather, the results.
It was kind of. The weather, what I found amazing was that it was kind of, at one time you'd look at the weather and it would be kind of rainy, and then it would kind of, the sun would break through, and it would be almost at the same time there were all the weathers.
Depending on which ground you're at.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, amazing. Well, enough of that, because we're going to be talking about the England team, which is forthcoming. But before we do any of that, we're going to tell you about where you can find us on Twitter at... I was going to say Egg Chasers. It's not at Egg Chasers. It's at Rugby Podcast. I wonder who is at Egg Chasers. Doesn't matter.
They've never tweeted.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Well, there is a
guy stuff. Who has a Twitter handle, Rugby Dungeon. And after I did the first four or five episodes, he offered me the Twitter handle, but I declined. But a very nice man all the same.
Did he offer it?
He wanted some money, yeah?
Yeah.
No. He only had like 12 tweets. And he said, yeah, you're going to use it. I'm not. So if you want it, you can have it. Mm. So, nice chap, eh? You can also find us on Instagram, and you can find us on Facebook and on YouTube as well, amazingly.
Yes. And the reason that we're doing a podcast like this is because JB is away.
Yeah, I'm selfish.
And so we're getting together on Monday to do the full podcast. But you know what? We understand that Egg Chasers and a Monday morning commute are... I mean, what two things go together?
Trump and sexual assault. And a court...
Yeah.
Theresa May and funny walks.
Your cheekbones and a cornerstone razor.
Even more perfect.
Yes. So we didn't want to deny you that Monday morning pleasure. So hence we're doing this little special podcast. But just before we get into the whole England, because what this podcast is going to be is a selection of our England squad for the upcoming autumn internationals. Just very, very quickly, have you seen the big movie news of the week?
I have, actually.
The Japan-South Africa movie news of the week.
Yes.
So,
Japan Miracle is going to be turned into a movie.
Amazing. About time, actually.
Now, so, in terms of rugby movies, there was... another movie that was mooted at one point that was Mickey Rourke doing Gareth the biography.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
About Gareth Thomas that never made it. I don't think it ever got made.
Thing is, Mickey Rourke's not a big man, is he?
Is he not?
I don't think so.
The size of most actors, they're pint size, they're tiny.
Yeah, they are. They're really
Matt
small.
They managed to make Matt Damon look like a massively hench 6'6" unit.
Well, the weirdest one is Tom Hardy, who's genuinely tiny, but He looks like
playing Bane.
Bane, and also in that fighting movie, he looks like someone you wouldn't want to tangle with. When in reality, you'd very much want to tangle with him.
Take his lunch money off.
Yeah,
him.
Exactly. How about that?
And also, and of course, Tom Cruise playing 6'5", 250-pound Jack Reacher in the Jack Reacher films.
Jack Reacher, who in rugby terms is most like Jamie Cudmore.
Yeah, somewhere between James Haskell and Jamie Cudmore.
Hang on a minute. Does that mean that if this film is made, either James Haskell, if he makes a cameo, or Jamie Cudmore will be played by Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise backing down in the second row.
They are going to use actual rugby players to make it authentic, like in Invictus. Jonah Lomu was played by Zach Fayanatu.
Yes, he was. Bastard, right? Well, just to shed some more light on the Mickey Rourke one, there are a few things which might hold us up. Number one being Mickey Rourke is 1 year past state pension age at 66. Well, the old state pension age. But yeah, you get the joke.
Yeah.
That could be difficult for him, you know, filming and stuff.
Well, yeah. One of the reasons that came off the rails is because the production company in Hollywood decided that not enough people knew what Wales is. And so they moved the set and the whole story to Ireland.
No, they didn't.
They did, yeah.
No, I'm not having that.
It's true. Wow.
It's true. That's... Anyway, Eddie Jones is going to be played by the guy that played Jango Fett in the Star Wars reboot.
Is Jango Fett the same guy who played Jake the Mus in We Were Warriors, or Once We Were Warriors, what was it called?
Oh, I don't know. I've not seen that.
I don't know why I think that. I think I've seen it on Twitter. But if that is the case, one of the best things to come out of... The only thing that's come out of New Zealand which is better than the All Blacks is that film. It's incredible.
Movie.
Well, I just think they've missed the trick not casting Joe Pesci as Eddie Jones.
Oh,
that would have been good. Or Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Both of those are pretty good. And actually, Eddie Jones is one of the few men in rugby who was actually actor size.
Yes.
So you know, there's plenty of people that could play him.
This is very true.
So is that enough of Egg Chaser's review movies?
Yeah. We'd be terrible at this.
No, awful. Mark Kermode can keep his job for now.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is, allegedly, I don't know how this is going to work, this is the plan pre-podcast, we're going to pick the England team, right? But we're going to do two players per position, then two wild cards. Is that right?
This is us predicting what Eddie Jones's squad is going to be when he picks it in a couple of weeks.
Or is it us picking what we would pick?
Mm. Oh, sorry, yes.
Let's just set rules. What we do? Are we picking what we would pick, or are we guessing what Eddie Jones will pick?
Sorry, yeah. To clarify, what I want to do is pick what I would pick. So it's what we would pick rather than what Eddie Jones. But this is to help out Eddie, really. Save him a job.
Yeah. All right.
And this is just, I was thinking about this in terms of the other home nations, and really, they're very, very settled. England are the ones in flux. So yeah, this is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, right. So let's just kick off with the props, because I've found this really difficult. Actually, Loosehead's pretty easy because there's an out and out starter. Tighthead, there's always been an out and out starter, but he wasn't even in the training squad this time round.
And I personally wouldn't keep him in the train. I wouldn't have him in my squad.
Hmm. So Loosehead.
Why would I not?
Yeah.
He offers virtually nothing around the park in terms of carrying, and he's a penalty machine.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He can hold up a scrum probably marginally better than the two.
You're
that
talking
I've
got about Dan Cole, because you've not actually said the name of the guy you're talking about.
We are talking about Dan Cole, of course.
Okay. I know you shouldn't start with Tighthead, but do you want to start with Tighthead? Because this is obviously going to be the area of greatest debate.
I'm not. Well, let's see. Let's see. So we can start with number three.
Yeah,
so
because that makes sense.
It does.
A very egg chasery thing to do. So here's what I thought, right? Who is really dominant in England as at being a tight head prop in the scrum? Like, really dominant. There's good guys.
English.
Yeah, English. Yes, yeah, sorry, English.
Yeah.
But there's no one absolutely dominant. And then the more I thought about it, there's not really anyone who's brilliant around the park either.
Well, there is. There's on the round the park, okay. There is.
Right, so give me who you think is going to add something around the park.
Sinclair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a great shout. Yeah.
Sinclair's the one for me.
So you've got Sinks. I can go with that.
No, I'm not saying I select him. The question you said was who's going to offer something around the park.
Okay, so I completely agree with that. And I'm just thinking.
So the contenders for this shirt are Harry Williams, Kyle Sinclair, Dan Cole. Any others that you chuck in the mix?
So the other one that was named
Henry Thomas.
Yeah, so who I was thinking? Ben Moon.
Moon's a loosehead.
Oh, was he?
Other one who was in the England squad, although he had to withdraw through injury, was Nick Schonert, the South African-born Worcester tight head.
Yeah.
But for me, if we're picking...
Jones does love his foreign-born England players, doesn't he?
Because he's desperate. He just wants anyone anyone who is qualified and will give him a go.
The two for me, because I think this is actually quite easy, Sinclair and Harry Williams.
Yeah, I'm not sure it is that easy. I think it's Dan Cole plus one. And the reason I think that is because he's got a ton of caps to his name. He might not do anything particularly well, but I tell you what, he does hold a scrum up. He's not destructive, but he does hold his own. And when he is playing well, when he does the things he does well, he's a penalty machine, but quite often for his own side. I mean, that was classic. I mean, I've not seen that version of Dan Cole for a while, but he's getting over the ball, he's sealing it, he's been a not...
The one thing he does well is rucking.
Yeah.
But recent memory for me is penalty after penalty after penalty rather than steal.
I think I'd go Dan Cole and Harry Williams, and I'd have Dan Cole as an insurance policy.
So I personally would go Kyle Sinclair and Harry Williams. So Tim, casting vote?
Well, what I have written down is Williams, and then in my second column, Sinclair slash Cole. My thinking was, exactly like JB, it's the caps are quite difficult to ignore. However, I would go with Sinclair. And I think now is the time to make that bold call, because you leave it past the November tests and leave it to the Six Nations. You can't start doing it then. I think now's the time. So Williams, Sinclair are our tight heads for the England squad.
And the other tiny bit of evidence to back that up, or opinion rather, to back that up is if Dan Cole plays, he has to start, because he can't come off the bench. And so if he starts, he will be continuing to get 60 minutes of international experience, which he doesn't really need. If one of those two goes down injured before a World Cup, you can bring in Dan Cole.
Is it about
whereas getting Sinclair and Williams a lot more exposure to international rugby will be of much more benefit in 12 months' time?
Do you think it's about need now? Do you not think it's about continuity and the team?
I think it's about winning. I'm picking the best two props to win the next match. And I would go with Warren Gatland, who selected Kyle Sinclair over Dan Cole and Harry Williams.
Do you know what Gatland had? Tad Furlong. So it's easy to get the wild card guy when you've got Tad Furlong.
There you go.
Yes. Well,
We're agreed anyway.
So, sorry, what were we agreed on? Is Dan Cole not going?
Dan Cole is not going.
Right, okay, fine.
You could pick him
unless
as one
he
of
makes
your...
one of our wild card slots.
Oh, what an inspired wild card. I'm gonna flip a coin on Cipriani or Dan Cole. Ooh. Okay.
Shall we work down the front row then and go to hooker?
Yeah.
If we're going 3-2-1. Yeah. So I think this is interesting, because you've got the captain, or the previous captain, admittedly he was concussed or suffering from concussion symptoms from South Africa, so couldn't attend, Dylan Hartley, as probably one of the first names on Eddie Jones's team sheet. Would either of you two pick him?
Yes.
So yes.
So
his set piece is outstanding, and when you hear other players talk about him, they say how unseen, how what an influence he is. So
I've heard he's an influence.
Jamie
that's for
George
sure.
would be my start. Jamie George, however, I think if I was going to win a game tomorrow, he would start. But Dylan Hartley, yes, I would select.
So can I move? Are we all agreed?
No, I'm not agreed
that we can move Jamie George into the team.
Into the team.
Yes.
Into the squad.
Of course we can. Come on,
Jamie George.
What are you talking
about? Jamie George, yes.
Lions starter.
Right, so here's my problem, right?
It's not a debate.
Here is what the crux of the matter is regarding Dylan Hartley and why I'm reluctant, or why I'm, well, reluctant to drop him, should I say.
Answer Phil's question. We can put Jamie George in the squad.
Well, I don't know if I want him over Luke Cowan-Dickie. Yes. Put in Jamie George.
Jamie George is locked in. So then we've got one place left. So is it Dylan Hartley? Right. Is it Luke Cowan-Dickie? Is it someone else?
Let me explain why I'm so conflicted here. Dylan Hartley played well when Eddie Jones took over and everyone played well and they won a Grand Slam and won 10 back-to-back games and all the rest of it.
Yep.
When Eddie Jones's team started to do badly, Hartley wasn't in the team. So the narrative now is, look how good Hartley is, because look how much you miss him when he's not there, because they're losing. And I don't know if that's real, and if it is real, he has to go, or if it's not, because Eddie Jones has just worn down his team to the point that it's no longer any good.
So you want to test your hypothesis that Dylan Hartley is a fundamental component in England playing well?
By playing Luke Cowan-Dickie.
To see if the downfall 2018 continues.
Yeah, because I can't see it. I can't see him being the guy to rescue the team. Can you?
No, I can't. So in my original picks, I had Jamie George and LCD, MHD, mullet-Dickie.
Yes, he's got a very nice haircut now, so it's different.
Picked.
He's always mullet-Dickie to us.
But having the two of you both put that forward, I think I'm going to go with Tim and Dylan Hartley, but only to prove your Dylan Hartley hypothesis, JB.
Yes,
thank you. I'm kind of agreeing with both of you.
Yeah, well, that's unusual.
So there we go, Jamie George and Dills.
Perfect. So Mako and who else?
Great question. Yeah, Mako is
one of the hardest to pick now with Joe Marler's withdrawal.
Yeah, because it would have been very easy. Now, Ellis Genge, who has previously been involved, is obviously out injured until the new year at least. Ben Moon got called up into the squad. There's others.
Now, can I just say about Ben Moon? I have done one or two interviews now and again. And when I ask the question, the really boring scrimmaging question, who gave you trouble in the scrum? Ben Moon always pops up.
Really?
Always. Who did I interview who mentioned that? Kieran Brooks said it. Yeah, and there's someone else who said it recently. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind sticking with him. And also, he works pretty hard. There's also Hepburn, who has been in and around the England team, but I don't know if he's fit.
I do like Hepburn.
He is. He's fit. He's been playing.
Can I say, yeah,
Moon and Hepburn have been sharing the jersey for Exeter.
He started at the weekend, Hepburn.
Mm. Yeah. So, probably Hepburn, actually, out those two. I think his work rate off the ball is superb. So Hepburn for me.
Tim, any improvement? Any other offerings?
It's no. And I think this highlights that this is a real issue. And that I'm not sure we've seen the last of Joe Marler in an England jersey.
I agree with that point, definitely.
Would you look at Ross Harrison?
I'd be tempted to look and get him into the squad.
A Barno?
Injured, long-term.
Nathan Catt is a good player.
He's had such a bad time with injuries.
If he can get fit, he's a real contender.
Matt Mullen a couple of years ago would have been on the list.
Again, hurt.
But yeah, I had down Mako and Alex Hepburn, so go for those two.
There we go.
Go for those two.
And then second row, so we'll pick four second rows.
Yeah.
So a full stable.
So let's do the easy ones. Mario.
Yeah.
Laws.
And Launchbury, I would say, that all three of those have to be there. Mm. They're a brilliant combination 100%. Of athleticism and experience.
Okay. So
you're looking for one extra.
And leadership.
Cruis.
Very good point. Leadership as well.
George Cruz, there you go.
Yeah.
Dave Attwood, he's back in the fold now.
Dave Attwood,
So's Ed Slater.
Yes, big time Ed Slater.
Yeah.
That's not his nickname, just him saying he's big time.
Ed Big Time Slater.
Ed Big Time Slater. Do you know what? I'd love to see him get back into England colours. He's a good leader. He's had a hell of an impact at Gloucester. Yeah, why not?
Nick Ezekwe.
So the next two contenders, as you just said there, Phil, Nick Ezekwe and Johnny Hill went to South Africa as well. He's now injured for a while.
Sharing a treatment room with young Simmons, sadly.
Yes.
That news. Yeah. So there's been no detail about the duration of their injuries, but it sounds bad.
As we record this.
Sorry, not when we record this, yeah.
But no, as we're recording it, hopefully I'll have grilled Rob Baxter on Friday night and got an answer out of him.
So. Yeah, exactly.
But the one thing I did read was he hopes for them to be back before the end of the season.
That's good.
Yeah.
So that is...
Johnny Hills is a hand or finger issue and Sam Simmons is a knee.
Yeah.
I think he's more severe. But anyway, we'll see on that.
So...
Launchbury, Itoje, Laws and Cruz would be my four.
Cruz.
I would like to see Slater. I really, really like to actually. He's got some good go forward as well with his carrying. But, you know, George Cruz is a lion. He's a bloody brilliant player. It's hard to look past him if he's on form.
The one that I want to see more of, and I think if he gets back to his best, could really challenge that four, is Dave Atwood.
I like Dave Atwood too.
I've not yet this season seen enough of him, so...
His was one of the great performances coming off the bench with his 86 tackles or something.
Yeah, 86 tackles in 11 minutes.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, those European weekends are going to be big for Dave Atwood.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well said, yeah. Tim.
Right, back row. Do you want to do this back to front like we did the front row or front to back?
Let's go some six.
It's a bit easier, actually, because we can just tick number 8 off, can't we?
Number 8 is really easy.
Simmons and Mackle. Billy.
Billy and Nathan. Simmons.
Is it Nathan, though?
Simmons is injured.
Does anyone... yeah, okay, fine. Does anyone think Nathan's a little bit overrated at this point?
I think Nathan is unproven at the highest level. He's generally been unconvincing at the highest level.
I think he's...
In South Africa, he carried very, very hard, if a little bit less.
Wasn't
effective.
He getting driven back by Faf at one point?
He did at
Didn't
one point.
Did he get carried by Faf de Klerk?
But he also made a lot of metres with ball in hand and carried a lot. Bearing in mind... I was just going to say that missing Billy is enormous, and he did a lot of carrying, but not always as effective as someone like Billy might be.
And I'll speak up for Nathan Hughes and say that last season he had lots of niggly injuries. I don't think he ever was fully fit the whole season. And he seems to have had a really good pre-season and has looked really good this year. He looked like he did a couple of years ago this season in the opening five weeks of the Premiership.
But you're right. If Sam Simmons was fit, there might be a question mark there, as Sam Simmons is not fit.
What about Mercer?
Maybe, for me, maybe as a six, because he plays six when Faletau plays.
Yep.
Maybe as a wild card.
Yeah, he seems to be the sort of guy I'd fit that.
But yeah, I've not seen enough to...
I'm happy to go with Billy and Nate, and then a little... And then Mercer in the potential wild card column.
Yes.
I think so.
Okay, so moving down to seven. Who have you got?
This is easy for me as well, so I'll just say Tom Curry and Sam Underhill.
That's exactly my two.
Now, the only thing I would say to that is I had Sam Simmons as a seven to get him into the team alongside Tom Curry until he was injured. Mm. But now he's injured, 100% agree. Yeah. Curry
it's exactly the same, Phil. That's exactly the same. I had Underhill as one of my sixes. I still had Underhill in the squad, but I had Simmons as well.
Is Underhill fit? He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
That boy's ridiculous. He's absolutely ridiculous.
He is. Hell of a player. Hell of a tackler.
Seems to have made... it's made... on the one hand, it's disappointing. On the other hand, it's made this podcast a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
Slightly easier. So, Curry and Underhill go into number seven.
With honourable mentions for... Matt Kovezic, who has looked really good.
Yeah. Better than I ever thought possible.
Ooh. Six is interesting, isn't it?
And Brendan O'Connor as well. We haven't seen him fit again. He's been dogged by injury, but I really want to see him have a run of games because I still don't think the door is closed on him, although it looks that way from the fact Teddy Jones hasn't picked him in the past. But
and another honourable mention. Another honourable mention to Mark Wilson.
Yep. Who will again be missing out? And actually, Gary Graham,
who has been wearing a number 8 shirt as well.
Yeah, he has.
And Gary Graham is the other one who I think has been playing his tail off.
Yeah. Penalty machine.
Loves a pivot.
He does, doesn't he?
Loves a pivot.
He's an angry guy. He's a hothead. I quite like the old hothead. But Eddie Jones seems to like hotheads.
Yeah, I wonder where that is. Unless they're singing to him at stations, in which case he likes to take him to court. right.
Number six, then.
Six. Anyone who is English qualified of Zimbabwean descent, failing that, anyone who's qualified of New Zealand descent. Is that right?
That seems to... Well, behind Robshaw, the way that Eddie Jones has picked it generally is either Zimbabwean or New Zealand or South African with Michael Rhodes,
but
now.
Definitely not Don Armand.
Apart from Don Armand, who seems to tick every box. Although Don Armand did actually get some game time in the Six Nations.
Yeah, he did. Last game of the season. Tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah, against Ireland.
And Argentina. And he went on the summer tour to Argentina as well.
Oh, last summer.
Not this summer, I'm sure.
No, last summer.
Yeah.
He didn't go this summer. He went last summer, but that was when the Lions was on.
So yeah, that's right.
Other people missing.
So Dave Ewers is looming large on the horizon, I'd say.
He has only one game.
And scored three tries.
Two tries.
Felt like three. it should have been three. Looks massive. Absolutely monstrous.
Of course, by the time this podcast has come out, he'll have played another game. So it was interesting seeing how Dave Ewers got on at the rec, wasn't it? It was
kind of, my word.
Sort of an all covered all bases with that performance.
It was unbelievable.
Good and bad.
Yes, absolutely.
Having seen that performance in the flesh, it's hard to know what to make of it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm with you there. Mike Williams has been discussed. And do you know what?
Oh, come on, Jay.
Mike Williams is the
depth chart. Come on.
He's the bottom of that list for me.
Do you know
He's behind Don Armand, he's behind Michael Rhodes, and he's behind Brad Shields for me.
He's not behind Brad Shields.
Not behind Brad Shields. No,
absolutely not. Brad Shields came on the pitch for like 3 minutes and played. Well, he didn't come on for 60 minutes and played second row. Yeah. He's definitely not behind Brad Shields.
How much has Michael Williams played for England?
Well, I would just say this: he's a sort of guy. For
how
whatever
much has
reason,
Michael Williams played for Leicester? More's the point. Recently,
is he fit?
Don't know. If you have to ask that question. Bearing in mind that we watched a Leicester game this weekend.
He didn't
have a good game.
I would just say that he's a sort of guy, for whatever reason it is.
Oh, he played
Eddie will want to pick him up. I don't know why. I just think he likes the abrasiveness that he brings.
He played this weekend. He was on the pitch and we all watched that game.
Oh, yes.
And none of us were aware.
Oh, yes. And you can also say definitely Tamona Harrison will never play again.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, the way he's playing, he would be handy for England.
He is very abrasive.
Very abrasive.
Even more abrasive than Mike Williams.
Yeah, so we're going to go with...
Right, Tim, who are you going with?
Down the depth chart.
Who are you going with?
I would go with Don Armand.
Yeah.
And I would go with Chris Robshaw.
I am agreed on both counts.
I would go with Don Armand.
Yeah.
And James Haskell.
Haskell.
That is not a joke. That is deadly serious.
I know. We are, unfortunately, 2-1. Armand gets 3 votes and Robshaw gets 2 votes. So we're in.
I don't know what world
Brad
we live
Shields,
in.
Michael Rhodes, Mark Wilson, James Haskell do not make our England squad.
Zach Mercer doesn't make it.
Poor Zach.
And the chances of that actually being England's back row options
zero.
In the Ultimate International
zero.
Are zero.
Oh, and Ben Earl didn't make it as well.
What? I can't believe it.
Do we want to pick a forward wild card now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Zach Mercer seems to be popular for everyone.
It would have been Sam Simmons. Well, he would have been in, and then I would have been thinking about another back row player.
But yeah. I think Mercer for me.
No, because I think Robshaw can be used as a seven.
Uh-huh.
So I would actually go Brad Shields.
Nick Ezekwe can do multiple things.
Michael Rhodes is a bit of a baller. He's sort of a different player, but I'd probably go Brad Shields as my wild card. But hey, if you outvote me, that's fine.
I would like to go with a hooker, either Tommy Taylor or Rob Webber.
Not even LCD. MCD.
Oh, wow, yeah. Hang on. Is LCD not in the squad?
He's not. MHD.
Right. Well,
we could go MCD.
Yeah, that would make sense for me then.
So are we all split then? We've got one vote for Brad Shields. I'm going Zach Mercer. Jay, you're going
No, sorry, we're doing one, not two.
Just one.
Yeah, Zach Mercer for me in.
Zach Mercer's in.
All right, Zach Mercer is in.
Locked in. Right.
Right. Cool. How do you feel about that pack overall? I feel quite good about that.
Yeah, I think I could.
If that was the actual England pack, I'd be thinking they could do a job.
Yeah, I think I could coach them to a few victories.
I would be very happy with that pack, I must admit.
Mm.
Right.
That presence of Don Armand makes a massive difference.
Doesn't it?
To how that whole pack would look. Oh.
I was thinking about Don Armand compared to someone like Zach Mercer, for example. And I keep coming back to Eddie Jones saying that Don Armand doesn't carry enough in heavy traffic.
Stop.
And
stop
I just can't.
Stop it.
It makes me angry.
It's offensive.
Anyway, onto the backs.
Yes.
Let's start with number 9.
Youngs and Kerr. Although it should be
Youngs and Robson, who was called it. So Kerr didn't travel to South Africa. Spencer did. But the squad that was announced for the Autumns, or the training squad for the Autumns, was Youngs, Kerr and Robson.
Yeah, so
you got just four, trolling these guys.
You got four options there. I mean, I'm happy with any
Robson and
any
Kerr would be my two.
I've got Kerr in the 9 jersey, Robson off the bench.
Do you know what?
Youngs,
I'm
on form does not make it.
Sorry, I'll start again. Robson, yes.
Yeah.
And my second would be Wigglesworth.
Wigglesworth, wow.
Because
you're just being
well, no.
So Phil's just said we've got four good choices. Yeah, I'm gonna pick another one.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because he can control the game so much better than everyone else. Like, it's a different sort of level of control that he
who
brings.
Who starts against South Africa?
Depends. I mean, if you really want to win this, I'd probably go with Wigglesworth. But again, it depends how you're trying to play. But you can do things with Wigglesworth you can't do with anyone else, and you can do things with Robson you can't do with anything else, and everyone else. Think about the extremities. Everybody else lies between those two.
That's true. So you both said Dan Robson. So he's in.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing that. Well, no. So my choice would be Kerr in the number 9 jersey, Robson in the number 21 jersey off the bench.
Hmm. So, and Jay, you're saying Robson and Wigglesworth.
Yeah.
So Robson's locked in. So that means I can only choose between Kerr and Wigglesworth for the Usher.
Well, you can choose anyone you want.
You can go for Youngs if you wanted and try and persuade.
Is that what you want?
Tell us why. Get us to.
Well, I was very vanilla when picking these.
No.
And I went for Youngs and Kerr. So on that basis, I'm going to go with Tim and go for Danny Kerr. Because I think the last two seasons, he has been playing some of the best rugby he's ever played.
He is very good.
And yeah. this opening 5 weeks of the Premiership, 6 weeks, sorry, this opening 6 weeks of the Premiership season, obviously I'm judging it more on the first 5 games, although, some have said that his performance in the game against Saracens at the weekend was outstanding. Some have question-marked it. Some have been a bit ambivalent in the middle. So it's probably mixed. Best to just ignore the game against Saracens when we're talking about this.
Yeah, he had a game of two halves. There's no two ways about that.
I'm absolutely ignoring the most recent performance. right. Kerr and Robson locked in. Number 10. Now, I can't help but feel number 10 has got to be considered with number 12.
Yeah.
So where do we want to start?
Not in my squad, but that's fine.
It's not in my squad as well, actually. I have kept them quite simple, but Jay, where do you want to start then?
I'm definitely picking Cipriani.
Okay.
I'm 100% picking Cipriani. So, yeah, I am. The problem is, if you don't pick Farrell, right, it's like claiming the world is round in a time when people thought the world was flat. You get mercilessly mocked, even though you know you're right.
For not picking Farrell?
Well, no, it's not about not picking Farrell, it's about picking Cipriani.
Okay.
So then it's a toss-up between George Ford and Farrell. And I guess I would pick Farrell, but that'd be a coin flip because of the way that they're both playing.
See, for me, it's the other way round. Farrell is just about the first name on the team sheet.
But he's not the best player at either position. Do you think he's the best player at 10?
I think he's actually the best player at
100%.
Yeah, I think he's the best player in both positions.
Disagree wholeheartedly. If he was, he would be running around in South Africa when they went on tour, winning the game. And he wasn't. It was Danny Cipriani that did that. You know, I just don't see... He's an amazing player. And maybe his overall game is stronger. In fact, no, his overall game is stronger than both those other twos. But the extreme skillful part, the extreme X-factor stuff, that is completely the territory of Danny Cipriani and George Ford.
Well, maybe if you're going to...
I disagree it's completely the territory of Mostly. Danny Cipriani. I would say if you were drawing a Venn diagram, then Owen Farrell's circle would overlap significantly on the Flair stuff. But Owen Farrell
would
is metronomically consistent and at such a high level.
And if you're going to pick the one example of Danny Cipriani winning the game in South Africa and overlook the number of games that Owen Farrell has won, not only for England, including Six Nations Grand Slams, not only for Saracens Premiership titles, not only for Saracens European titles, but also Lions tours, then I think you're cherry-picking at its absolute worst.
Okay, so the England team, I'd say, is fundamentally built around Owen Farrell. I think the backline is, I think his influence is far greater on England than it is on Saracens. That's what I think.
Okay.
For many reasons, like the coaching and all that sort of stuff. And frankly, over the last 12 months, he's not been that great in an England shirt. I mean, we've pointed out multiple times his defensive frailties, but apparently that doesn't matter. He's not playing...
Well, that's if you're looking at a column that says missed tackles, but...
I know, it's about the defensive outcome...
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
I've heard it all before.
That they play.
And I don't believe them. I don't believe them because they keep on losing. So I do believe him if he plays at 10.
He misses loads of tackles for Saracens too.
Yeah, but that's different if you're moving him into the channel occupied by Brad Barrett. Now, if you're George Ford, who you know is not a great tackler, shepherding people into a channel which does not contain Brad Barrett, but instead Owen Farrell, then we've got a massive problem. So. He's not getting in the England 10 shirt because I actually think the coaches know that the better playmakers are indeed Ford and certainly Cipriani. And then when he goes to 12, yeah, he can playmake better than anyone that they can put there, but he's found out defensively. And that's the problem. So, yeah, he's going to go alongside Cipriani, but, you know, it's tough.
I'm starting to think you're like, this is like... Fox News type stuff. You're just thinking, if I say this will get a really great reaction.
Well, that's, you know.
You cannot mean what you're saying.
Yes, I absolutely can.
I don't believe you.
I believe that JB believes it.
Hang on. No, hang on. Let's not go there. Let's not go there.
So, from all that, what are you saying is your two tens? Ford and Cipriani.
Ford's going to lose out.
So, Farrell and Cipriani?
Farrell and Cipriani for me.
Tim, who are your two tens?
Farrell, Ford.
Me too.
Wow.
Farrell, Ford.
Wow.
Are locked in. Cipriani could
still... pair of sheep.
Cipriani could still make it as a wild card 15.
Oh, brilliant.
Let's do 12 then, just because it flows on nicely. Yes. So, Tim, do you want to talk us through your 12 position?
Yeah, it looks strange on paper at this exact moment in time, but... all the stars coming into line, it's pretty cut and dry for me and very, very little debate. Benteo, Manu Tuilagi.
Oof.
Signifying Eddie Jones putting a really English identity on this England team. albeit via Samoa and New Zealand. But
yeah.
Well, no, both Samoa. Anyway, yeah. You get my point.
Teo played for Samoa Rugby League, I think. It took me a second to get what you meant there, but you mean the hard ball-carrying 12, the direct route one type 12.
Yes, and actually, I think that will, with Farrell at 10, it's basically Saracens, and I think it will work an absolute treat.
So, I had the same thing written down, and I'm very reluctant to do it just because so many teams, England and Leicester in the past, have been built around Manu Tuilagi, and he's never been there. He's never been fit. And so if you get Tuilagi and Tio, you are marking your intent to play a single way. And if one or both of them are unavailable, then you simply can't do it with the personnel. So I'm reluctant, but in a best case scenario, I'd love to see those two in the squad.
Interesting. Well, yes, I would as well. And Teo's just about coming back to fitness, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I would like Teo. I would like Tuilagi at 13. I think, sorry, 12.
12.
I think they do a great job. Again, for me, it's going to be about extremes. I don't think there is a better 12 in England, particularly defensively, than
Piers Francis.
Brad Barrett. Oh, Piers Francis, sorry. Brad Barrett.
I think defensively, I agree.
I don't, you know.
He does. It was announced last week, last Tuesday or Wednesday, long time ago now, it seems, that it was announced that he's got to go under the knife again for the plate that he had put in his cheek.
So he's out.
We don't know. We don't know how long he's out for, but.
Okay, so then I was going to look at two players who are nowhere near the England team. I mean, they're not even close, truth be told. But I think they would offer something completely different. And it's a toss-up, really. I would like to see Kyle Eastman be reconsidered. And I'd like to see Johnny Williams be brought into the squad for a look. Those are the two which I'd love to see.
You're banging the Johnny
Williams. If you were casting your net a bit wider, then I'd put Ollie Devoto in the mix, because I think he's got that mix
of physicality
and ball playing.
He is one who combined those two things very well.
Yeah.
Probably the best combination of the centres. With, again, if we're going to cast an even wider net.
Sam Burgess.
God, that's a wide net.
How many players are down?
If we're going to cast a wider net, someone like Ryan Mills.
Yeah, I think Ryan Mills is a cracking player.
So maybe this story of the shortage of 12 that Owen Farrell is having to cover is really a story of not enough people have actually been brought into camps and considered.
I think it's a story about basically cultish-like behaviour, where, you know, we must acknowledge that Owen Farrell is the best player on the planet and get him in the team somehow. And it's actually damaging the rest of the England team because you can't get players who play in those positions to play there. I mean, look, think about it this way. If he was really an amazing 12, they do have an amazing 10. Why don't they ever switch those two around? Why don't they have Lazowski at 10 and Farrell at 12?
Farrell's just better 10?
Maybe. Or maybe he's a bit...
Maybe he's just not good enough.
Maybe.
So who are our 12s then? So Phil and I have both gone the same, have we?
Tio and Tuilagi.
Tio, Tuilagi, and JB didn't sound like you were against that too much, so there are two 12s.
Hang on. I was polar opposite. I was...
Eastman and Johnny Williams.
I was East. I'm going with Johnny Williams and Barrett.
Barrett. Maybe you can get them as a wild card.
Yeah, maybe.
Brad Barrett. Brad Barrett and Dan Cole, the two least inspiring wild cards ever.
This is wild.
Right, outside centre.
This is easy.
Is it? Go on then.
It's a lot easier than it was a year ago. Slade and Lazowski.
I am also on Slade and Lazowski with a nod that I would like to have Elliot Daly there if only Anthony Watson was fit to have as an outside back.
I'm going to go with Lazowski 100%. I think he's he should be the nailed on starter.
Three votes for Lazowski.
And I like Slade. Yeah, probably Slade. I was going to go Tuilagi, but Slade.
Tuilagi's also at 12. Or in the squad at
well,
12.
Yeah, but not in your, not my,
in
not
your
my
head.
In the squad already.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be interesting just to see how they do set up, whether you do play Tuilagi at 13 or and Lazowski at 12, say.
Mm.
But I don't think it really matters, because when those two are playing, if it is those two, you can interchange them and have, if you want the distribution off 12, Lazowski moves in. If you want the crash ball off 13, Tuilagi moves out.
Yeah.
So we're settled then. Tio, Tuilagi, Lazowski and Slade are our four centres.
And then other guys, just again, not needing to talk about it, but Jonathan Joseph will be coming back at some point soon.
Yes.
Joe Marchant has been playing well for Quinns.
He has.
It's actually quite rich pickings in that position.
And Trinder. who's
Trinder, yeah,
for the first time in ages has had a run of games.
Do you put much stock into 12 Trees, who's been playing in a good club? Well, who was playing
in
a good
club? Him and Piers Francis have been doing really well at 12.
Piers Francis in particular.
If you wanted that type of player, England have got options.
Yeah, I agree. Honourable mention to those two as well. And we've not always been the kindest to those two.
So, not exactly.
They are playing well. Right. Wingers.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. So Watson is injured and will be out till at least after Christmas.
Yeah.
There's one of the form wingers in the world, in my opinion, Johnny May.
Yep.
Has to be in there.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's in.
We're all on that. Elliot Daly as well. We're not picking him as a set outside centre, so...
I'm picking him at the fullback.
You pick him as a fullback?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, actually, I'll pick him in the wing.
I think...
Yeah, I'll have him as a winger.
I think if he starts or is on the bench, he can cover...
Yeah.
His advantage is he can cover so many players. Then, after those two, after May and Daly have been slotted in, who else do you go for?
Jack Knoll.
Jack Knoll is on my team sheet as well.
Ollie Woodburn would be another guy I like.
Ah, he's injured. Oh. If injured. Only Woodburn was available.
Denny hasn't deserved it, quite frankly. Yard hasn't deserved it yet.
No, Yard's looked decent, but I would agree that he's not deserved it.
Yeah, he hasn't.
You are the contenders. Rocco hasn't started the season firing all guns blazing. Don't Christian say Wade.
Cock and a singer.
No.
Christian Wade has been awful start of the season.
I know a lot of people will say, oh, he hasn't played and stuff, but I would actually pick Chris Ashton and Jack Knoll as the other two wingers.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, to pick Chris Ashton because, you know, there's no game tape of him in the Premiership this time around. But there is reams and reams and reams and reams of it of him being the top scorer in France, and he's fit, and yeah, and why not?
To be honest, so we haven't seen him this year. Last season, including his Barbarians performance, where he scored a hat-trick against England, and all of his previous performances with Saracens, there's still question marks for me over his defensive positioning, but I would have him in the squad. Because otherwise, he has come back to England for nothing.
Yeah.
So I would have Ashton. With a nod.
Well, as it stands, you could say Cipriani has tied himself to England for nothing.
You could do, I guess.
He would have been off to France, wouldn't he, if he hadn't have been there? Oh,
he'd be so rich.
Think, imagine the parties he could have gone to in France.
Oh, it's the not on, is
champagne
it?
Parties.
He'd have probably even got a place for Nev on the squad as well. He could have been out there as well.
Oh, that'd be so good.
Killing it with his mate Nev.
Did you see Nev the other day? You saw Nev at Gloucester or something?
Yeah, Nev was at the Gloucester Saracens game at Allianz Park.
Yes,
him
Nev.
And Sippers were hanging out after the game.
Of course he was.
Interesting.
Good old Nev. Cool.
Right, fullback.
So I've already picked Daly, so for me it is going to be... I can't remember. Hang on, have I picked Daly on the wing?
I think we all said Daly on the wing in the end.
Yeah.
So
our four wingers: Johnny May, Chris Ashton, Elliot Daly, Jack Knoll.
So I got confused now because I was going to go with Daly and Woodward at fullback.
Woodward,
but now I'm going to go.
Talk that your main man Alex Good, JB.
Oh yeah, of course. That's what I was thinking. I knew that was confused. Yeah, Woodward and Good. There you are.
Right.
Tim, any improvement on Woodward and Good?
What a cop duo.
Mike Brown, yes. And then what I've actually got written down is Woodward / Good.
I would personally go Brown and Good. Okay. I still very highly rate Mike Brown.
Why do you still very highly rate Mike Brown?
He, alongside probably Folau and Ben Smith, he is just about the most solid fullback in world rugby, and he still offers an attacking threat, as he showed on the tour to South Africa.
Oh my God, Tim Farron, the ex-Liberal Democrat leader, has just commented on one of my tweets.
On a Sunday night.
Wow, I thought it would have been more topical on a Thursday evening.
Yeah, but no, he has.
So, to wrap, before we get down a rabbit hole we probably don't want to go down.
297,000 followers, Tim Farron.
So, we all said Good. Tim, you had a caveat, Good or Woodward. Tim, me and you both said Mike Brown, so that locks those two in. And this leaves us with an outside back as a wild card, or a back as a wild card.
Yeah, and the contenders for a wild card spot are Danny Cipriani.
Yep.
Woodward, perhaps.
Woodward, yeah.
Cock and a singer, perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who else you might think as a potential wild card option. Someone like Ryan Mills that you said, or centre, an inside centre, an Ollie Devoto type.
Millsy, Devoto, Brad Barrett, Johnny Williams. Someone like Christian Wade in past years might have been considered as a wild card. He's had such a bad start to the season.
Mm.
For me, it's probably Woodward.
Of course it's Danny Cipriani. Behave yourself. He plays 10.
Disruptive, bad team player, big personality, negative press.
Plays 15-2, scores tries, wins games. If it's not him, you're insane. Mm.
If you want a if you want a 15 playing 10 or a 10 playing 15, Good.
So, sorry, I'm going to just take this conversation off in a slightly different way here, right? I was looking at the archives of the Times newspaper, right? But sadly, the archives of the Times newspaper only gets like 1982 or something. So,
were you doing that for, Jay? Were you doing some deep digging?
Yeah, because I thought it'd be really fun to read newspaper articles about what was happening 10 years ago today for the podcast.
When you say the archives only go to 1982,
yeah, so you can
only
look
up to, so yeah, from 1850 to 1982.
Correct, yeah, so I can't get anything more modern.
Okay.
But The Guardian, right, have all their... You can look at all the articles The Guardian has ever written, pretty much, so on and so forth. And I kind of got the time frame roughly right. And 10 years ago, they were writing about... the impending dominance of Danny Cipriani's career and him wearing the 10 shirt for the foreseeable future, with which player providing the creative spark outside of him at 12.
Ooh.
Charlie Hodgson?
Nope.
Flood?
Nope.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ollie Barkley.
Jamie Noon.
Nope.
Jamie Noon. Dan Hipkiss.
Nope.
Ayula Aridley.
No.
Shane Geraghty.
Yes!
Geraghty.
Shane Geraghty and Danny Cipriani were nailed on to be the creative 10-12 axis for England.
A dynasty for the next 10 years.
Yeah, yeah. And didn't quite go that way, did it?
Yeah, that's sweet. Thank you, Jamie. Sorry, mate. I'm just on a call.
All right. Sorry. Right. Right. Well, let's wrap this up so you can do some radio shit.
So, final...
Yeah.
Final wild card.
So that was Shane Geraghty, sorry, that's what I missed.
Yeah, Shane Geraghty was the was going to be the guy. So yeah, I'd pick Shane Geraghty.
Ryan Lamb would have been the backup for that role as well.
I know. It is amazing how people think it's going to pan out and never actually does.
So, final position, Jason Woodward.
No, Danny Cipriani.
Tim?
Cipriani for me.
There you go.
I would go Cipriani, but thinking that... you can't rely on Manu Tuilagi, or I wouldn't want to put all my eggs in that basket. And Owen Farrell could well end up at 12. I would pick Danny Cipriani as the wild card in the backs.
There you go.
And I trust him to behave in the right way as he appears to have done in the last couple of seasons.
There we go. Right, well, let's bring this to a close, because I've got some Air Force pilots on the other line waiting to, queuing up to do another podcast. Tim's got a radio show, and
I'm going to go out for a few beers.
Oh, with who?
With work, unfortunately.
What, in town?
In town.
Can I come later?
On a Sunday night?
On a Sunday night. Yeah, work night out on a Sunday night. How irresponsible.
Oh, that's nice of you to invite me. So anyway, on that sour note, you can find us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast, on Instagram, on YouTube, on Facebook, all those other things. We'll have another podcast out tomorrow. We might even have one out on Wednesday too. And there's Rugby Dungeon, there's all those other things. So if you want to get in touch with us, please do. But until next Sunday, when we'll be back with a more regular schedule of podcasts, thank you very much, and let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.